said.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral. Okay.
It's that time of the week. That's the sound. It's episode number 132 here at Sportsaholics. And
Kevin McHale, 32.
Do you have any Kevin McHale stories or like a certain incident that happened maybe in a playoff?
Well,
game
you know, in that
fight.
Episode of Cheers, where he got caught, you know, counting all the rivets in the parquet floor is of course a classic episode of Cheers and a classic Celtics.
I have not seen that episode.
That's a good one. It's a good one. He's a very funny. He gets caught counting the rivets in the parquet floor while a game's going on.
That's almost like a Seinfeld precursor. Almost.
You know what? It is the most Seinfeldian of the Cheers episodes. Absolutely.
Dude, look, Cheers, I mean, it really, if you want to just get a good feel and everyone gives John Hamm a bad rap, you know, for his character, his male chauvinist pig character in Mad Men.
Yeah.
But Sam Malone, my friend.
Like, Mayday Malone.
Subliminally, you watch this growing up, and you're like, wow, this is exactly what I see women are fighting against now. Some of the stuff he does in that show is so sleazy and dirty.
Yeah.
Or like, you couldn't almost even put on TV nowadays because it wouldn't get through a writing room.
Like, no, that's interesting. It's almost like it's a weird thing that, like, we always talked about. Like, you couldn't put Archie Bunker, All in the Family on now, or you couldn't have. Maybe now, because it would be groundbreaking again, but you definitely couldn't have. You couldn't have 20 years ago or 10 years ago, and I think people might. And it's like in a weird way. And so that I go with you that his womanizing almost like it's like James Bond.
It's
the
like
new James Bond isn't quite the womanizer that old James Bond was.
Sam Malone's womanizing in the episode. And by the way, this is quarter one. We're doing a new format. First quarter right here. Sam, that's either the second, third, fourth, or fifth storyline in every episode of an episode. Is he's waiting on a date? Something happened at the date, but always on a date. Two girls. Like how many times did he walk out with like two girls? You know.
Well, I got to be honest with you. You know what? It's and you know what? Interesting. You know, lots of final episodes get bad raps on TV shows, but Cheers. Cheers has a beautiful last episode because, you know, a lot of people like, remember the show starts with Diane Chambers, Shelley Long comes in, and then, you know, this was definitely the era
I believe the first episode, she's actually in town for another job and just happens to stumble into.
Right, she gets stuck. I think she's waiting to meet a fiance or something, and she basically gets
stuck in the bar
and ends up working there, and she's the brain or whatever.
And Carla's late, and then Sam's like, we don't have enough people to work here.
But it was also one of those like very 80s love triangles. Like the 80s loved love triangles and tension and would they or wouldn't they. This happened with, you know, Bruce Willis on Moonlighting, and you know, and it was certainly very much Cheers. And then, you know, and of course Shelley Long leaves, and then and it's also a very interesting thing where it almost takes three. Someone's put the argument together that it takes three characters, Rebecca Howe, Fraser Crane, and Lilith, they take three characters to actually replace Shelley Long and Diane Chambers, because it's like Coach dies, and then they basically cast Woody Harrelson as, and he's just a younger Coach, and we've weirdly gone one for one. We've subbed in.
You're right, he is, because it's the same, like they both could deliver the same lines. They're both in their own
world.
If I
whited out who was saying it and you didn't know what year it was, is this line Coach, is this line Woody, you wouldn't necessarily know, but. And so then it was like, and you know, it's like Kirstie Alley comes in as Rebecca Howe, and they dance around some would they or wouldn't they, but then they sort of become friends. But anyway, the whole point is, in the last episode of Cheers, which is now, it was a very long-running show at the time, and I'm from Boston, so it's like, you understand, like, and especially there's a point where, especially in the last century, in the 20th century, the Red Sox, Celtics, there was a point where they weren't winning, there was a big playoff drought, so in some ways, like, all Boston people had was Cheers. Like, there's this point where Cheers is just the thing. It's what we're holding on to. So anyway, the last episode happens, and Diane Chambers, Shelley Long, returns, and there's a big sort of finale. Will they or won't they? And of course, Diane ends up. They're about to get married, and she sort of jilts him or leaves him, and Sam lets her go. But see, the interesting thing is, the whole show was really about, it is a love affair, but it's about a man and his bar. The whole story is, the story of Cheers is about, remember, Sam Malone is a recovering alcoholic who then, a bar becomes this drunk's salvation.
And I think pitched for the Red Sox, it was like 72 to...
Right, he's a terrible, his Mayday Malone, and Mayday he always, Malone. It was like, he's not the fireman who puts the fire out. He's the guy that brings in the gas and sets, and the fire gets bigger. Like, yeah, he's, yeah. You know, and he was a drunk and...
Doesn't even remember his...
Right.
Pitching.
It's right,
like
right, right.
Some
right.
of his lines. He's like, oh, I don't even remember
exactly.
That
yeah, and yeah. But so the interesting thing is, and of course, you know, the character's name is Sam Malone, last name Malone, but it also sounds like Sam Alone. Because it's Sam, like in the end, Sam is gonna be alone, and it is about it's a boy in his bar. And it's like it is a beautiful story where it's like it ends with, you know, Sam and Cheers, because that's what the story was always.
There was an episode of Frasier where he's at the airport and he bumps into Cliff Clavin.
Yes.
Randomly. And so you get Cliff Clavin back in your life. And I mean, I remember watching this. This was like 94 or yeah. 5. It was like 2 years, 3 years after Cheers right. was off the air. But it was weird because you're like, you're watching Cheers briefly for a second and they interact. But they're at an airport. So if, right. as the writer, it forces them to separate.
Yeah.
They did a really good job. I'm like, you know what? They were just bar chums, and they got into some antics and stuff together. But Frasier's right. character never really, unless it was a crazy episode,
right.
did you know?
There weren't
extra
a lot of reasons
things.
For like Frasier moves to Seattle and moves in the brother and his dad and all that stories. And it's like they were very different shows in that sense. Like
but I always thought that they captured the bump into a random old yeah. friend at the airport yeah. scene perfectly. I'm like, that's yeah, because they weren't really tight. Like Dr. Crane never called up Cliff ever, probably throughout the course of that, you know, like on his personal phone or whatever. They just hung out at a bar together.
All right. So also, so we have a great episode. We're going to be interviewing one of our good friends, Ryan Mervis. We're going to be talking about snowboarding and Minnesota
all
sports.
Things
all things Gophers. Minnesota. We're going to talk about ice hills that just are created by it's so cold that mountains just appear in Minnesota. But we're going to get to that in a little bit. I will tell you this, in just updating what's going on. I received a text from my father today. He's now living in Florida. There's a massive snowstorm has hit the East Coast. I got a text from my dad. No snow here. Just 5 Super Bowl victories and a lot of calzones.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
That's right. 5 Super Bowl victories. You can't take it away from me.
It's good to hear that he's acclimating well down
yep.
there.
Yep.
And still an off chance for a possible spring training trip?
That's always in the cards. Pitchers and catchers will report soon. We're sort of excited about that. I did officially, and the panda Sandoval, he is a showed up early to training camp. I mean to spring training and svelte. I don't even know how to feel about that with the Kung Fu Panda being
like
lightweight.
Cares, and he's lost, dropped some weight.
Well,
huh?
You know, Poppy's gone, and there's a weird part. A lot of people don't believe that Poppy's really gone. And guys, you can hear me talking, even though I have retired from day to day. Sports fandom. I am here as a fan consultant, and I did officially. I turned the page. I think it was Tuesday, last Tuesday. I want to say, where I read something about the Red Sox. Like, I mean, I just sat down and like I officially.
It was in the headlines. Finally, like the Patriots yeah. stuff had died down enough that Red Sox stuff.
Oh, I know what it was. I was reading about. I read about. It was the. Interesting non-roster invitees that everybody has, like okay. every team.
Yep.
And it was like one of those, I was like, wow, Alan Craig is still, and by the way, Red Sox paying him like $11 million this year. Like he's on some stupid contract. I think they picked him up like after we beat the Cardinals in the last one.
I was going to say, yeah, 13, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I think we picked him up like, I want to say we picked him up in 14. In 14 or 15, we picked him up, and it didn't really work out. But we signed him to some deal, and he's still on it. And it's like, oh, and we just have an $11 million non-roster invitee. Also, our Rusny Castillo, the Cuban, you know, he was a touted Cuban that seems to be a bit of a bust. Or, you know, definitely more of a bust than, say, Dice K, who at least we did get a series. We got a World Series while he was on the team. He wasn't the sixth, he had a magical spin ball or something like that. Yeah. You know, he had a magical pitch that only he could throw that was some sort of spinning splitter or whatever it was.
Not to be confused with Dice K Matsuzaka.
No, that's what I'm talking about. That's his crazy.
That's what I'm trying to talk about.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I did this last week because I was like, we were going through and it was like, you Darvish and Nomo. We couldn't think of, I can't remember, the Indian or the Yankee slugger.
Yeah, we did Matsuzaka. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Matsuzaka and Dice K. Now I'm doing it wrong. Matsui. Hideki Matsui.
Yes, not to be confused with Corey Lytle.
And then who's the pitcher who didn't want to pitch for the Padres, ended up with the Yankees, the Toad? Did someone like Steinbrenner before he died called him the Toad? All right. Shizu, what's going on in your world?
Cologne?
Before we get to our interview, what's going on in your world?
Hey, listeners, I wanted to say, if you haven't been to our Facebook page, I've been putting up some posts. I started doing a Royals review thank you to the 2,100 people that have watched that so far.
We are all Royals.
In the past few days. But so that, look for that, and then I'm just going to just, I don't know, I enjoy editing. And
is it called the Royal Rooters?
It's called the Royal Rooters. It's like the original one inspired by the Boston Red Sox.
The Royal Rooters, right. Yeah. Enough said. And so third base.
I was like, how is this not like at least a charity organization? Like the Royal Rooters should be a thing.
Right,
I
mean, the Royal Rooters.
But I did find a shirt. It was a thing in the 80s. I found some vintage shirt online. So someone at some point attempted to do this. I'm guessing it would have been 86 right after the World Series. But yeah, that's just me bitching about the Royals, talking about why no one, like, who cares if the Balboni home run record gets broke? Like, there's more pressing things to worry about. How just believe in Dayton Moore. The man knows what he's doing. And how the season, I feel like we're wild card contention.
So we haven't even really started, but you already feel wild card contention for the season.
Cleveland's just going to be so good.
They
didn't even have Carrasco for the playoffs, and that's their guy. So they're going to be – Cleveland should win, barring some injury, which always happens. But I think they've got enough depth there
Injuries do to overcome in baseball, that. And it's always unexpected. It's like that's the crazy thing about baseball is how much injuries do factor into it. But they're always you never see them. It's like football makes sense. Basketball makes sense. Hockey, these injuries, you see them and you know. And then it's always like – hey, your pitcher just sliced his hand open, opening some package. So he
a can of beans.
Right. And by the way, somebody's always shattering their hand, like punching a wall.
There was the guy that cut his hand on the drone.
Yep, cutting hands on drone. By the way, it just changes. It used to be like opening a CD case.
Yeah.
It was like, Stanley, for the Red Sox, Bob Stanley, I think, cut his hand like with a weed whacker. Like pitchers are always doing stupid things with their money makers.
If it was like whatever, I think a 46 World Series with the Red Sox, whatever. You know, it would have been like Ted Williams hooked his finger with a hook last week, and he's going to miss 4 games because he was fishing in New Hampshire. You know, like that. That was the type of stuff you were going to see. Now it's strained wrist because they were playing a video game for 8 hours or 10 hours or whatever it may be. But
oh, by the way, I also I do have some breaking news from Florida from my dad. My dad and I had a serious conversation during the playoffs where we both sort of said, you know, hey, look, if the Patriots pull this out, we just might have to take a step back because it's just we put a lot. Look, guys, we're rooting for people that we don't know. We have no control over. We root for these 5 basketball players or, you know, these 53 football players, these 25 baseball players. And hey, look, guys, I saw Tebow last night, and he's a big Falcon fan. And it's like, guys, he's a Cub fan and a Falcon fan. So he just saw an amazing thing. And then he had his heart broken.
Oh, Tebes. You said Tebow, and I was like thinking Tim Tebow.
No, I said
I'm like,
Tebes,
what a douchebag. He's a Cubs fan and a Falcons fan. That's pretty convenient.
I'm sorry.
And then I was like, oh, Jason Tebes.
Sorry, Tebes. Yeah, I'm sorry. But so breaking news, my father and I, and as you know, I have officially announced my retirement as a fan. I'm not part of the day-to-day grind. I'm now a fan of me. I'm now rooting for myself.
We're in day 4 or 5 of Eric
Murillo's
spring training.
Right, I reported right. Okay, so, but I got this from my dad. The first thing he wrote was, rise up, because really, There's really nothing funnier than Rise Up in it. There happens to be a billboard right now for The Walking Dead, which is shot in Georgia, has a gigantic billboard on Sunset Boulevard that just says Rise Up. And as a Patriot fan, knowing that Rise Up is also the
Falcons little...
Yeah. Catchy. It's like, I see Rise Up, like, I'll show you who rose up. I mean, really, if you're Falcons, I'm a Phoenix. Like, it's destruction. But anyway, Rise Up, ha, saw the Brady 6 thing, the NFL film, the Brady 6. And then he says this, I'm in for another SB. Got a good slogan for it, the other thumb. So my dad maybe not stepping back. My dad kind of... He might be gearing up for and by the way, the Patriots just trademarked Blitz for 6.
Yeah, like I saw
they're,
that.
They're
that
kind
was...
of, you know.
So it sounds like your dad's kind of getting caught up in the grasping of what a social media can do with, because every team's got a little saying, yep, catch hashtag now.
Sure.
So it's forcing the baby boomer generation, sure, to adapt to, like my mom describing, like, oh, I saw the podcast, you know, with the video. It's like, no, you're talking about the video. That's not the podcast.
Right. I don't know what a pod is or why it's called.
It was good. Well, thanks, Bob. You know, yeah. But, you know, so it's like the older generation now, it's like, I think they're enjoying it. You know what I mean? It's like the interaction, and sure, whether your dad's like on Twitter or regardless, but just the fact that you could take your shit talking as a fan nationwide now. It's not just to the guy down at the shop, down the street, or your brother or your son-in-law. Or
I also have to say this, Sheezer. I caught myself just because of this fifth Super Bowl. Let me tell you guys. I've been walking around my house. I caught myself. I went to Ralph's, a grocery store here on Sunset. I occasionally just laugh out loud. Like, just thinking about what happened and the amazing comeback and 25 points down. All of a sudden, I just laugh to myself. I'm walking in the egg section, in the iced tea section, in the beer. And I just, ha ha. Like, I was probably walking around Ralph's. And I probably laughed out loud.
But it's rock and roll, Ralph. So, listeners,
no, so there's a point, but there's a point where I'm like, I was like, God, there was a moment where I considered, like, hey, I'm just laughing out loud for no reason. And I know that it is rock and roll Ralph's, which totally is filled with Looney Tunes and crazy people. And I'm like, and there's a moment where I'm like, God, I wonder if I look like a crazy person to other people because I'm just laughing to myself for no reason, apparently. And then I realized I am a crazy person. Because what I saw was insane. What I saw I cannot in no way be considered mentally stable in any way. You can lock me up and throw away the key because I am cuckoo, because what I saw is mind-bending, reality-altering. And yes, I don't even know if I'm speaking English right now because I might just be in a box talking to the wall, huffing glue, crazy, because what I saw is huffing glue, talking to yourself in a box, crazy.
Yeah, that's. I think we all saw it too. Even when they replay it, I've watched the replays a couple times, and you're just.
I watch it every single day. No, that's not true.
You're like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, that doesn't, like.
By the way, I rewatched the, because NFL was rerunning all the Patriots, all the Brady Belichick Super Bowl, like they were doing all the rebroadcast of all the, you know, the in-game things.
That would be nice.
So I happened to watch the, I watched the Do Your Job NFL film, which is the 2014 Patriots, and it's the winning the Seahawks. It's about beating the Seahawks. It also starts with us getting crushed by the Chiefs in like game 4 and saying like, this was.
Oh, losing, I remember that game.
Losing
that was
41-14 turned out to be a turning point for the Patriots season.
That might be the biggest Belichick beatdown ever.
It was. And they also have, like, it's great because they have all the coaches. You know, they have all these, like, we don't interview any of these coaches because, you know, you never get into the Patriots fucking secret lair. But they actually have, each one of the, like, you're talking about, what's his name? Josh McDaniels and
everyone that's a head coach everywhere else.
No, because they're all still with it. It's all the defensive coordinator, all the lines coach, the D-backs, the defensive back coach, all of them. And they all basically reading, they read like the Yahoo, the like whatever, whoever wrote shit, like bashing the Patriots, like this may be the end of the Belichick dynasty. This is the end of the Brady Belichick dynasty. Like, it's all falling apart. Like, this was that.
This is a week 4 right, of the 2014 season.
Right. And know. I'm like sitting there going, like, you're reading this. And not only I'm laughing because, A, you know that the coaches, all these coaches are laughing reading it. And they're at the same time, like, they're laughing, but also like, woo, that's rough. Like, they're just like, woo. I'm like, they're in some ways probably glad they didn't read it at the time.
Anyway, you got all that bottled up animosity.
And now they have, you know, they're sitting there having won the Super Bowl thinking it's hilarious that that it's over. And it's even more funny going, because the whole point of me telling this, guys, was that I end up watching that crazy, you know, Patriots were down by 10 to Seattle, then come back. But then Seattle starts to drive. They make that crazy Javon Kurse catch that's crazy. It's, and by the way, that catch is literally crazier than the David Tyree catch. Like, I'm not going to say it's more impressive, but it's crazier. It's literally a crazier
anytime
thing.
Anytime you get deflections and things
and
like
that. Right, because it's, by the way, because it's broken up. It looks well defended. And yeah. It bounces on three parts of his body. In some ways, it's crazier than the Edelman catch. But then, of course, the Malcolm Butler interception happens. And I have to tell you this. I'm watching that, which, by the way, was an amazing, and it was very important for me to win that fourth ring. And Malcolm Butler, it was snatching victory out of the jaws of defeat. The writing was on the wall. And I watch it now, and I just go, that's child's play. I mean, down by 10, Malcolm Butler, compared to the Atlanta Falcons in 25 and going to overtime, and it's child's play.
Well, all right. We'll call that quarter one.
That's the end of the first quarter. Okay, when we return.
Well, yeah. Well, Ryan Mervis, guy, actor now, big time, been in a lot of stuff coming out this summer, comedian, funny
guy. We're
going to
open with a great story, guys. It opens with one of the all-time great stories, a KG meets a fan story.
Real quick, we'll go through these little promos with Don Carlos. Of course, if you're in La Jolla, Pacific Beach, go to Don Carlos Tacos or San Diego area. Kitty Corner, Catty Corner from the La Jolla Comedy Store on Pearl Street. So go visit the Don. Really good, really, really good food. If you needed shirts printed up anywhere in America, by all means, go to Union Press KC, letters KC, unionpresskc.com. They have really good deals. They have a really quick turnover. They do good work, and it comes to your door very quickly. So check that out, unionpresskc.com. And for you Midwestern listeners, come out to my comedy shows. I'm going to be back next month. I'm looking forward to it. Topeka, March 15th. I'm at Louie's Lounge, 8 p.m. That's Topeka, that horrible state capital of Kansas, March 15th. Then I jump to Missouri State Capitol. So I'm doing the state capitol off.
Oh, yeah.
Be in Jefferson City, Missouri on Thursday, March 16th at Avenue HQ. And I believe that starts at 8 o'clock. Avenue HQ, Jefferson City there. On March 16th. And then, last but certainly not least, Springfield, Missouri, the Ozarks, all you moonshiners and meth addicts down there. I'm heading your way. That is St. Patrick's Day, the 17th. Two shows, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock at the Blue Room down in downtown Springfield. And then also two shows Saturday, the 18th of March.
I just feel like you're a saxophone jazz, like you're a jazz musician. You're playing Louie's Lounge and Avenue HQ and the Blue Room.
Hey, you know, it's
come here, she's here.
I like this. I mean, nothing. I love doing clubs too. That's fun. But there's something about you're in one spot and you pack up and you're in another spot the next night and another
town
spot.
Town to town, on the road.
Nothing against Boise, Idaho or, you know, Omaha, but some of these gigs you get to. You show up there on a Wednesday, and you're like, Wednesday, Thursday show, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, sometimes even a show Sunday. You know, so you're in, again, Omaha, no car, Boise, you know, it's hard to get around, and you're just in, you get stuck in your hotel room the most of the time. And so I like this way, night to night, you're moving around. And
like a Jackson Brown song.
Maybe Bob Seger, who is not going to pass away for
turn
a long,
the page.
Long time. All right, guys. We'll quarter
back
two,
with Ryan Mervis.
Quarter two starting soon.
here, as promised, with Ryan Mervis, longtime friend of Eric and I. And we're doing this segment actually in the haunted dungeon of the Comedy Store, aka Comedy Store Podcast Studios, in the 33 Sunset Boulevard. All is well down here. No ghost yet.
So right, so one of the things you guys need to know about the talented Ryan Mervis, he was a bartender extraordinaire here at the Comedy Store. That's how we knew him, in a comic, very funny, talented comedian. He's a well-known bisexual, but you might know him as one of the What's in Your Wallet Vikings from Capital One. That's one of your bigger credits. As a known thing.
Yeah.
Now, also, you happen to be from Minnesota.
It's cool.
Right? So, Minnesota, you're a huge Viking fan.
Oh, yeah.
And then, all right, so, honestly, you happen to be a huge Kevin Garnett fan.
Yeah.
So, I kind of want to start with, this is a story that I think, guys, I think this story is so good. I tell this story. Like, I tell Mervis, I tell this whole thing, but I'd really like to hear you love Kevin Garnett, and I would love to hear your interaction with Kevin Garnett's story.
Well, first of all, what's the background here? We got to establish your level of Kevin Garnett fandom, which
right.
probably starts with you being from the
being from Minnesota. I mean, I like the Timberwolves as much as someone can like that team.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they're like,
but you're young and they had Garnett and Marbury. There was
there was
a real upside window.
We had a young
Oklahoma City when they had Durant and, you know, there was a
right.
There was
excitement.
Right.
I mean,
let's not forget Christian Laettner, guys, please.
Never.
Sprewell was in the mix.
JR, don't call me Isaiah Ryder. Also, it was a Timberwolf for a while.
I still have a problem that J.R. Ryder and Isaiah Ryder are the same person.
You're looking at a guy right here that had a Donyell Marshall Timberwolves jersey.
Ooh.
Yeah, thank you.
I hate the Huskies.
UConn's finest Donyell Marshall. Anyway.
So, I mean, like, I like the Timberwolves. I mean, nowhere near the way that I like the Vikings. But I don't look like a Timberwolf, so, you know.
That's Gold. True. You
yeah.
do.
But KG was always, you know, he's fun to watch. He's a good person. He's, you know, it's... Down the line, cool dude. I'm at a nightclub in Hollywood, The Room. Very much out of my element, not really my scene. My commercial agency was having a holiday party there. So they had it from like 8 to 10, and it was like free drinks and whatever. And like me and a buddy of mine went, who was also, he was from Baltimore, an old roommate of mine, Steve, who inexplicably is a Timberwolves fan.
From Baltimore.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's understandable. I mean, not that the Bullets were anything good as when we were kids. So, but the one thing with the Garnett thing is you got to remember, you know, when he came out, cover of Sports Illustrated, he was like the first guy. I mean, he wasn't the first, but it had been, I think, since Sean Kemp. It had been 7 or 8 years since a mm-hmm. high school kid.
Right.
And even with Sean Kemp, there was like a community college thing.
They were still like these were still exceptions to the rule. This was like the beginning of
this was the beginning right. of that beginning 7-8 year
yeah.
period where
right.
high school
kids. Because then Marbury was a one and done and joined him. And then we were definitely in the out of high school Kobe era or the one and done. That's where we were at.
It was almost a LeBron James-esque type hype. The only difference was is Garnett's rookie year, he averaged, you know, it was like 5 points and two I mean, he was 190 pounds, so it's like he didn't stand a chance. And he was still only 18, but
yeah.
for you listeners that are under 25, like the amount of hype on this guy, it was LeBron James-esque, I would say. You know,
or what LeBron had was actually built off, you know, it was like we were now building, it was getting critical mass that we would follow college. You'd watch high school games. Like I saw a LeBron high school game.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
me
that
too.
Was crazy on ESPN. Anyway, so you're at a nightclub.
So we're at a nightclub, and it's like a, you know, bottle service, cocktail dresses and fake tits.
Like this is a club you're not going to be in unless your agency calls
reason,
you and
yeah,
says,
yeah,
hey,
yeah.
here's a ticket, come in.
There was free booze. I'll be there.
Yep.
And
it's an agency party, so there are celebs there or some other people or no? What?
I mean, it was, you know, my commercial agency and right. my old commercial agency. And, you know, there's some, like, you know, there's the networking and stuff, but okay. I'm more there. Just
got it. I got it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Have a good time. That's why you're there.
Yeah.
Plus your buddy's in town, your old roommate.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, what's Hollywood all about?
I'll show you.
And so we go and, like, we stick around. Because, like, 10 o'clock hits, and they let, you know, everybody in. It's open to the public. And we're like, let's hang out for a minute. And there's, you know, the hot chicks everywhere, and I'm completely under. I'm wearing, like, a flannel and like boots.
You're not even meeting the dress code at this point.
Yeah.
But also remember, it's his agency, a commercial agent. So he's going with his look. Like he's looking to book things, and this is his look. Like he looks. By the way, guys, you can't see him right now. Looks great in flannel. I mean,
just going. We'll tweet out some pictures.
He's lumberjack sexual. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's I'm of the mountain. So we're there, we're hanging out, and when drinks started costing money, I mean, and it's like $12 for a Bud Light.
It's dude,
like,
it's brutal.
Not going to last very long. But this group comes in and sits like in the middle where it's like all the tables and the bottle service and all that stuff. And my buddy's like, dude, that's a tall guy right there. That's a basketball player. And I'm like, dude, that isn't just a basketball player. That's Kevin Garnett. And we're both just like, oh, shit. And it's hard to admit. He's like 1,000 feet tall.
Yeah, he's like a tall, lanky 7'2".
Very 7 foot.
Light shining off the ball dome.
Yeah, and like it's very much sectioned off where he's at, but like it's also in the middle of the club, so it's like oh, he's just there, and I'm like okay, I'm not leaving until I high five Kevin Garnett, and we're waiting around, having a couple drinks.
You're like $86 worth of beers later.
Oh, dude, the tab was like. Almost $250, because I'm a large gentleman, and my buddy is my old roommate is like 6'5", not you know he doesn't eat 3 a.m. cheeseburgers, but he also could drink, so we're there racking up a huge bill, and I'm waiting. I'm like, I don't know how much longer I can wait. I'm gonna use a John, and I'll high five him later, and I turn around to like see if he's still there. He's gone. I'm like, fuck. So I go, the bathroom is in the basement there, and like I go down there, and there's like the guy in the bathroom giving you cologne and cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, the good stuff.
And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. Here you go.
And there's another $3, $1 or $2 I won't have. Add to the tip. All right, damn it. The tab just went up.
I love nightclubs. But in the basement, there was like another room, and like there's like clearly like another club in this room. And I peeked in like a cartoon. Like, I grabbed the door and, like peeked in. But I was, like, sneaky about it. And right when I stick my head in, I'm at a dude's crotch. And I'm like, oh, and I, like, look up. And it was Kevin Garnett. And, like, I popped up.
So you slid the door open to reveal
the
Kevin
Garnett. The door was open. I just
coming like around.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. I just popped my head in.
Into Kevin
Garnett's
crotch.
Gigantic junk. And his Pepsi 2 liter of a dick is in my face. And I'm like, I jump up. And I'm like, oh, this is your chance. Seize the day.
High five. Opportunity died.
Spanish. And before I can say anything, he looks at me. He's like, what's in your wallet? Is that you? It's like, cool, man. High five.
Oh,
like, anything is possible.
Anything is possible. I love it. I mean, you're a fan. You want to high five him. And then, so one of your idols knows your work.
Yeah. What's in your wallet? I'm like, that's totally fucking me.
You're like, no. You're Kevin Garnett. Don't worry about my wallet. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. That must have been.
And I was elated. Like, it was so cool. And it was such a baller move. That's one of those baller moves.
It was a good move.
And I get up back upstairs and I tell my buddy, and he's like, no fucking way. And I'm like, yeah. It totally happened. And we're leaving. And he's like, dude, that didn't happen. And as we're leaving, KG and like his crew are coming up the stairs. And I'm like, see you later, man. He's like, cool, man. See you later. And slapped another five. And my buddy's just like,
I love that story.
Yeah. Like, all that happened in 4 minutes?
That's
crazy.
Life changed.
Yeah, should have gone and taken a leak with me.
Yeah. You're from Minnesota, correct? Is that where you grew up in and around Minnesota?
Yeah, born and raised.
Now, what is that like? When you fly into Minnesota in the summer and you look down and all you see are these tiny
lakes and trees.
It's lakes, but I was going to talk about these outdoor hockey rinks. You see the frames for them everywhere. And the first couple times I was like, what the hell are those things? I'm like, oh, those are outdoor.
Those are hockey rinks.
Is it like comparable to, let's say, pick up basketball, you know, in the sense like, are
very much so.
Are you going to just be able to throw on your skates, go down to the park and then get into a game?
Yeah.
Like, everywhere you go.
Yeah, a lot of them, like, some of them you have to, like, sign out and stuff because there's leagues and leagues and there's so many different kind of little leagues and, you know, bantam hockey and all this, and then high school hockey.
And we have Tuesday night games and Thursday night games. There's regular leagues that meet, like, oh, we're the Thursday night league.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever, okay, got it.
But, like, when I was a kid, like, on the school bus route, and I was the first stop on the fucking school bus. So we had to get picked up at like 6:04 a.m.
Beautiful.
Oh, it was horrible. And last one dropped off at home, but whatever. But on the ride to school, we probably drove by somewhere maybe 20, 30 hockey rinks.
Wow.
That's... like, there's a million. And then we also drove by the Bloomington Ice Garden. Like, I'm from Bloomington, Minnesota. What's up? Go Jaguars. And the Bloomington Ice Garden is this huge multi-rink facility where a lot of Olympians practice and stuff.
Okay.
For, like, figure skating.
So there's always ice time available yeah. at this place. Like,
is it? Oh, it's great.
I just want to understand one thing, since I don't know anything about this culture, even though I'm from the New England area, which definitely has hockey. Because it's really, you know, it's like our area, like the New England and like, you know, the Wisconsin, Minnesota are like the only like places in America that seem to have like, you know, good hockey teams, especially college. But so these outdoor rinks now, are these, is man-made ice? They're man-made. You know, is there something that freezes it underneath that is, or is it just like, hey, it rains, we put water in it and it will freeze. You know what I'm saying? Like, is it a... You know, like, I guess you have, like, heated pools and you have non-heated pools.
He's saying, like, in the summertime, it's just grass.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. What I'm saying. Like, when you fly into Minnesota, look right out your window and you just see these weird...
It's like, just wooden frames.
Is that first? I'm like, is that
so
like
then
a...
it's just, like, so it's a wooden frame that sits in a field and then when rain comes and then it'll freeze over.
Yeah.
But it's like, and it's not a frame, like, in a lake.
You know right. Yeah. Right. No, okay. They don't really have them on lakes.
So then they
it's come like out, in parks.
So at some point they come out to this park and they put enough water that's going to freeze in the frame.
Yeah.
Basically.
Okay. Pretty much.
Okay.
I mean, they do like people have pond hockey and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to know.
I'd say, so there's no like there's no what do you call it free on. There's no like you know like what they have on indoor rinks. They have to have shit underneath.
Oh yeah. No.
There's no refrigeration.
No. That's this is just for. This is all
natural.
Yeah. The great Minnesota outdoors.
Okay.
I mean, they even do it in parking lots where they freeze over parking lots and there's a hockey rink.
Got it.
There was one right by my high school that was great because it didn't have boards. They had a hockey rink, but then they froze over the parking lot too, just for extra hockey space. But
we need more hockey space, yeah. Everybody. We need more ice in Minnesota.
Like instead of boards, they just had kind of snowbanks on the side. But as a teenager with a driver's license. It was really fun.
Man. So just ramped just,
yeah, they're moguls now. They're car moguls.
Yeah, it's a mogul, and then you just crank it.
Hit the brake.
Yeah. Right when you hit the ice and see if you can do.
This is like Dukes of Hazzard Northern Edition. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
yeah. Those Duke boys are at it again.
All right. So you're huge you're huge into the Minnesota sports.
Yeah. Yeah. Minnesota down the line.
You've also lost a hockey team.
Yeah, we lost the Dallas Stars.
Now, as a kid, were you devastated by that? Because you were, what, probably 10,
it was
maybe
a, it was a
8
big
years
bummer.
Old or something? You know,
it was
pretty
a big
young.
Bummer.
And they pulled one of those classic, like, hey, like the Cleveland Browns go to the Ravens, become the Ravens, and win. The Dallas Stars.
Go to Dallas, win in the 99, I think.
Right,
yeah. The biggest bummer wasn't so much losing the Stars, because there were so many different levels of hockey.
The North Stars also.
Yeah, the North Stars.
Oh, yeah.
I have a North Stars Mike Madonna jersey.
Very nice. Met him last year. Good guy.
Oh, yeah? Nice. Yeah, I was wearing it when I got an old-fashioned at Coachella a couple years ago.
Very nice.
He means a hand job, people. Right? Just so you know, he didn't get that drink the old-fashioned. He made the jerk-off hand gesture, the handy gesture.
Yeah, well, you know.
Coachella, radio, baby. Coachella.
But the biggest bummer, because there was plenty of levels of hockey. Like you can still get your hockey. But we had a team called the Minnesota Moose for a while. That was fun. Great mascot too. An underused mascot, I feel.
Was it a moose?
It was a moose, yeah. the Minnesota Moose. He had a hockey helmet on and everything. But the biggest bummer is when they blew up the Met, which was like where the North Stars played.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, the North Stars played in the Metrodome?
No, there was the Met Center was.
Oh, okay, okay.
They tore it down to build the Mall of America, but then they wound up building the Mall of America across the street. And then it was just a parking lot for like 10 years until they built an IKEA. But I remember we watched them blowing it up or imploding it on the closed circuit TV in school. I was in grade school. And they blew it up in the morning and then we all got sent home to like be with our loved ones. It was a tough day because that's where like the high school tournament was. That was like there was so much stuff,
so many memories
of this place. I mean, that's where they trained for the 84 Olympics.
You mean the Miracle on Ice?
Miracle on Ice.
1980.
The 1980 Olympics.
Sure.
They even have footage of it in the original, not the Kurt Russell of Miracle on Ice, but the like 5 hour long.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have footage of the North Stars playing there and the Gophers and stuff. No one's wearing helmets, and it was great. But yeah, they tore it down. We got home, sent home to be with our families. 9/11, full day at school.
tearing down hockey rinks.
Yeah.
Don't think about
hey,
it.
Yeah. We didn't ever play hockey at the World Trade Center. There aren't any memories.
Yeah, no, no, no.
So, what would the if you can just take the average Minnesota fan? What would the ranking be? Does it go Vikings, Wild, Timberwolves, or what's
Twins, the Twins got to be in there? So.
Twins.
I would say Vikings, Wild, Twinkies, Timberwolves.
If the,
you know, I actually might put the Minnesota Lynx above the Timberwolves.
They are champions.
They are like they're like they've been to the championship 5 years in a row and won 3 of them or something like that.
Mm.
And she's like, so that's our championship team, huh?
Yeah, that's always kind of like bittersweet when you like Seattle. I think
yeah,
they,
Seattle has like either a soccer. They have a soccer and a WNBA.
Okay, those might look more impressive in 50 years, but you know, for now, it's
that's
just
clearly what San Diego. San Diego needs some sort of
go goals. San Diego goals, baby.
Is that what they are?
They got the hockey team. Down there, and then they're getting they an MLS get. Team too. Actually,
are they supposed to? Is that going to go to Qualcomm?
Right. Well, they're going to build a new thing.
Next,
they'll build a new stadium. Exactly.
Now. As a kid, were you? What was your preference? Or were you just all?
I was a Vikings fan.
You're talking Randall Cunningham. Are you talking?
Yeah, I was at the '98 NFC Championship game.
Oh, Randy Moss,
where
Carter,
it was yeah Cunningham, Culpepper, Carter Moss.
Who was your quarterback that
Culpepper.
Season?
Culpepper.
Culpepper.
Okay. And that's when Gary Anderson missed, and we were me and my dad were there, and then like the third row of the end zone that Gary Anderson missed in. It's a rough day.
It's the quietest
I've ever heard the Metrodome. And that play has got
Yeah,
loud.
And that was, at the time, that was the highest scoring offense of all time.
Yeah, Gary Anderson hadn't missed a kick in like 20 years.
Yeah, jinx.
He had the one bar face mask. He was the last one in the league with the one bar face mask.
Now, is he going to be a Hall of Famer? A kicker? Was he one, is he like?
It was Morton Anderson just went in.
What I think. I think I might be.
I like how we replaced Gary Anderson with a different Gary Anderson. We got a different Gary Anderson kicker. Yeah, and it was real just under the rim. We're like, get the fuck out of here.
They're like,
find me another Gary Anderson.
And it's like, you know, Gary there's a big sweetie. There's a lot of Andersons, I would think, around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That must have been a great meaty day. Gary, you're not Gary Anderson. I am Gary Anderson.
Yeah. Now, I do have a question. Now, here's the thing. And I think I've had I have a working conspiracy theory that it has to do with the magical waters of Lake Minnetonka. That I hear so much about in Purple Rain. But, you know, the Vikings have this weird, about a 20-year history of getting a quarterback that is on a second or third team and suddenly has a weird revival.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Sam Bradford came and, like, didn't work out for the Rams. He was maybe going to be this. The Eagles didn't even want him to be their starter. They trade him before the season and go with a rookie. But Sam Bradford did great for you
He
guys.
Set the completion percentage record.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then
granted, all those completions were about 2 yards.
You had Jeff George. Jeff George did it. Dante Culpepper was that. That was one of... You kept having guys...
Warren Moon.
Right. It was a weird thing that in some ways, like, you guys sort of proved that you don't need
Did Cunningham ever play? Or was I getting Warren Moon and Cunningham mixed up? Or
They all did.
Cunningham did.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
You know those, the Browns jerseys that have... All the listed quarterbacks, there's like 1,000 quarterbacks.
Yes. Yeah.
Vikings can have the same thing. We have just a
But they also did much
you had
better.
Gus Frat, like,
but we
right?
we
did
win
you
every
have
now
Gus
and
They did have Gus Frat at a certain point.
Right.
I mean, no one will compare to Fran the Man, Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah, yeah.
I know who you mean.
That's
incredible.
Fran,
that's
for youngsters, yeah. Fran Tarkenton.
I mean, poor Teddy Bridgewater. Who might not ever walk again.
That is real, because I watched your coach a couple weeks ago on ESPN, and you could read what they were saying. Like, well, he might come back midseason. It's like, no, this is really bad, because they don't have any, there's no sense of even like that Romo contract. You know, like, there's no, like, they're not even trying to make any promises that Teddy Bridgewater is going to come back anytime or play soon. Like,
keeping
it is
real.
A devastating, like, people cried, evidently, like, it's a non-contact practice injury. Like, people threw up. People
quote was that the majority of the offensive line threw up. Like, that's a pretty...
Yeah.
Like, you got to hear certain sounds that people are screaming. You yeah. know, look down.
And aren't you the same team that, like, worked out guys too hard until they puke? Like, you were... Didn't yeah. You lose, did that guy die?
Yeah.
Did...
We had a lineman. That it was Corey Stringer.
Yeah, you guys
Holy
have...
shit,
you guys
I forgot about that.
Maybe
yeah.
you guys have the worst preseason practices of
well,
anyone, too.
Well, the spring training facility is in Mankato, Minnesota. In Mankato State. Where I've been drunk before.
Definitely sounds
like
a
what,
prison.
Like 40 minutes south of
yeah.
Minneapolis.
And one time I saw the Black Eyed Peas there in their multi-purpose gym.
The original Black Eyed Peas, though.
Fergie was in the mix.
Oh, okay.
Wow. And me and my buddy, we were all drunk, and we're like, let's go see this fucking band.
this isn't a band. What the hell
yeah,
is this?
And like, I'm in the front row in the multi-purpose gym, and Fergie stage over. I caught Fergie. Just me. Because I'm taller than everybody
She
else.
Went for you. She
yeah,
knew what
yeah.
she was
she's
doing.
She's like, oh, he's got upper yeah. body strength. And then she's like, throw me back on stage. There you go.
You
yeah.
caught Fergie.
I caught Fergie. And I've got witnesses.
I'm just saying, he's like one for one in Fergie completion
yeah.
rates. Like, he has never
yeah.
missed a Fergie when thrown.
Yeah, take that, Bradford.
Now,
talk about a completion rate.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to get into your quest to be, and I want to, you know, help start this quest. You know, or it's been started, but you need to be the Minnesota Viking. And
oh, I would love it.
Especially because the guy they have got uppity.
Well, the thing with the whole Ragnar controversy was because everybody's like, oh, he's demanding like hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever.
Yes,
and. All he asked for was what he got the year before, but they changed the amount of appearances he was going to make. So the math changed without him knowing it.
I see. He was now going to make so many appearances that
yeah.
because he was getting paid probably by appearance, that
yeah.
suddenly looked like an
he
astronaut.
Was only going to go to so many games. So he's like, no, I still want to get paid, you know, $100,000 or whatever it was. They're like, oh, you're only going to do one game though. But they never said that. So there was like this big thing where it's like, oh, he's demanding all this money. And he's like, no. I just want to do the same thing that I've been doing for 30 years.
Wow. So they really did make it seem like he was trying to ask for all this money, though. Like,
yeah.
Somebody undercut him. Somebody was out to get him.
Man, I wish it was me.
Now, can it be you? I mean, is this something, like, could you fly back to Minnesota for
I would love it.
8 times a year for games?
I would for sure do it.
I mean, you've spent time in jail at Qualcomm at a Viking
stadium jail. They you know, they I'm a passionate fan.
Yes, you are. Now, if I'm not mistaken, did you get there and start tailgating? It was like 3 hours before this.
Well,
this was like 7-8 years ago.
This
too.
Is a long time ago, yeah.
There was still football in San
There's
Diego.
Yes, football
yeah, that's
in
how
San
long
Diego,
ago it was.
Yeah. The game starts at 10, you know, so tailgating started, yeah, about 7.
And you lived in San Diego.
I was living
up
here.
Oh, you, oh, okay.
And
okay.
I drove down with, two of my buddies that live up here.
Like a pre-dawn raid. We are gunning down. It's like 5
yeah.
a.m. and we are gunning down
to
San Diego
to
drink in a parking lot by 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
We hightailed it down here. We're 90 miles an hour upwards of.
Yeah, yeah.
No traffic. Yeah. No traffic.
Oh, right.
All the cops are asleep. It's Sunday morning. It's that early Sunday morning
yeah.
after the drunk rush.
And we get down there, and I used to live in San Diego, so I had all my pals that we picked up, like a grill and all this, like, we, you know, all this stuff, and like tables and whatever. Like, we're getting ready to tailgate. And my buddies are going to meet me there. They're taking the trolley, and they're going to meet me there with a charcoal, and. They never showed up. So we had food and booze, but no way to cook the food, so we just drank. And
classic mistake.
Yeah, the only person that in our group that didn't get arrested was the guy that threw up in the parking lot before the game because he was too drunk. And then he just wound up drinking alone in the stands because we got 86 before the first quarter was even halfway done.
It's I mean the Chargers fans aren't really that loud anyway, so
Chargers fans are the worst.
Fair weather. I mean, well, they don't exist anymore.
They don't exist. There's like two guys that are just like, and they work for the team.
Now, what is that? Is it just something like, why don't they? What's the difference between getting kicked out and then getting sent to prison jail?
Yeah, that is a good question. So what does happen when you get? When you go to stadium jail, what happened?
Well, they're like, hey, you come with us. We gave you 3 warnings, and I'm like, you gave me no warnings, and they didn't. And I'm dressed like a Viking, but I'm wearing a jersey. I have my shirt. I know the stadium.
Whose jersey was it, may I ask?
It was a Jared Allen jersey.
There you go. Very nice.
It was an away jersey. Because I still have it, and it has blood stains on it and some holes. I'm a passionate fan. And they're like, "You come with us. We gave you a warning. Sorry, man." And I'm like, "What are you talking?" And like, the stadium cops come out, and there's this whole big scene, and all the Chargers, and we're in the cheap season. All these Chargers fans are just loving it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like,
the only win they probably got that.
Yeah. Thing. And Percy Harvin ran the kickoff for a touchdown, so everyone's in a bad mood, anyways.
at least you saw that.
Yeah,
at least.
I didn't see it actually. Oh. We got in late.
You're late for the opening kickoff.
Didn't see the kickoff. Yeah. Fuck. So they grabbed me, and my buddy is like, "I'll come with you. I'll tell him that you're fine." I'm like, "Dude, if you..."
Yeah, this isn't a come with.
Yeah, if you come with me, you are going to jail. Away.
With me.
Yeah. And so they bring me down to the stadium police, because they have like a police station in the stadium. And they bring me down there, and my buddy's like, "Hey, I'm going to use the bathroom," and like stands up and like falls over into a cop. And they're like, "You downtown." And they send him downtown. Like,
whoa, yeah. You just got upgraded.
Yeah. And I'm like, "Fuck." And so I'm like, they're alone. And they're like, "Okay, man, follow us." And they put me in a room like this size, like alone. Nothing. There was a chair and a table and a door.
Now, can you hear the crowds
and
roaring?
I can hear shit going on. And I'm there for... maybe
they should at least allow you. They should have a TV in this.
Or a radio or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I can hear all the shit, and I'm there for, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes, an hour or something, and like just bumming. Like I'm pissed off. I'm drunk, but I'm sobering up, and like I still haven't had any food. Like I'm dressed like a Viking. I'm wearing fur in this little room. And they finally open the door, and they're like, "Ah, sorry. We had the wrong guy." And I'm like,
"You were right about the warning."
Yeah. And I'm like, "What? How did... Look at me. You had the wrong guy?
Yeah.
You had the..." And I'm like, so I'm causing this big fuss. And they're like, whoa, sounds like you're slurring a little bit. Have you been drinking?" And I don't know why, but I went with the "I've never had a drink in my life" excuse. I'm like, "I don't know. I've never had a drink in my life."
You should always go with "I'm diabetic" and insulin. Like, you should always, in that case, it's like, "I'm a diabetic, you asshole. I can't drink."
Yeah, I almost died in there. That's a good call.
That's what you have to do. "I'm diabetic. I'll die if I have a drink. And that's why I'm slurring, because my blood sugar's off."
I've been told that, too. By several different club owners, actually. Like, best way to drive drunk. If you get pulled over, just tell them you don't drink. Deny it. You say you got insulin.
Mom's a cop, let me tell you.
So you got let out there. Like,
you're
slurring. Now you're getting yourself back into trouble. Yeah, so they back into the room.
They move me from one side of the police station over the other. So they throw me in the drunk tank. And the drunk tank is only Vikings fans. And it's like a hallway kind of room with...
I'm willing to bet they have a Charger drunk tank. I bet you it's segregated, because it only makes sense that you would have separate drunk by team.
Well, they had like aluminum benches along the walls. And then I'm like, I see that it's only Vikings fans. And the cop has put me in there. He's like, "So do you have a separate drunk tank for Chargers fans?" And he's just like, "Chargers fans know how to hold their liquor." Slam door shut.
You liar.
Yeah, no, he said that.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm saying he's a liar.
Oh, yeah. No shit. I've been to Pacific Beach. That town is paved with 19-year-old vomit.
I was going
to
say, it's actually part of... It's worked its way into the sidewalks.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are cobblestones.
And so I get the door slammed on me by this fucking Chargers fan cop. And... I'm just like, so I just start, I get up on the aluminum bench and I start singing the Vikings fight song, slam my feet on the bench as loud as I can until they kick me out.
You got kicked out of jail?
They escorted me off the property. I'm like, "You guys got nothing on me. What are you going to do? Arrest me for resisting arrest?" And they're like, "Don't tempt us."
Yeah.
And like, because I'm handcuffed as they're walking me off the property. Right.
They have to get special handcuffs. You have thick wrists.
Yeah, I need extenders.
You get two cuffs.
Yeah, it's a bummer every time I have to, like, if I'm in a situation where I'm about to get handcuffed, where it hurts a lot to have them on. So it sucks having to tell a cop this, because they're like, why does he know this? He's like, officer, I'm going to need the extenders unless you got some zip ties.
I was protesting in North Dakota.
I come with Sons of Anarchy explanations. I've been arrested a lot.
Well, yeah.
I was going to say, let's go to halftime when we come back for the third quarter. Yeah, let's get into the skiing and snowboarding.
Yeah.
That's really, I want to get into that good stuff.
Real quick, so my buddy that went downtown.
Yeah, he got upgraded.
Yeah, we picked him up at 4 a.m. when they released everybody. And nothing on the record, all that stuff, expunged. But they, on the sheet, and they had to destroy them, like shred them. Otherwise, they'd be official documents, and they would have to press charges.
Oh, yeah.
On the thing, it said cheering for the wrong team.
San Diego PD.
Karma, they don't have a team anymore. So there you go, San Diego. Stick that in your piping.
Oh, Viking.
All right, we're going to come back with snowboarding. Halftime. All right, we are right in the middle of Ryan Mervis.
Episode 132.
And we're going to come back with the snowboarding. It's going to be some amazing stuff. But while we're at halftime, how do you feel it's gone for the first half?
I feel good. I mean, you know, it's nice recording in the Comedy Store podcasting studios. The temperature is rising a little bit. You know, we're maybe 10 degrees, you know, starting to perspire. But I got some water, so I feel like physically I'm there. I like the questions. I feel like
what I like is that you actually offered the bottle of water to either me or Mervis. You should have just put it out there, and then later are just like, "Oh, y'all not gonna drink? Yeah, it. I'm gonna bring this back."
You guys aren't drinking the water. I'm drinking the water because I'm thirsty. But I feel like the first half's gone pretty well. Any projections?
You know
for the
what? I just
want
to throw out there while we're at halftime, taking a little break. We're gonna get in some great stuff about snowboarding in just a second, and of course, I love the Kevin Garnett story that we.
Lucky man.
Because I actually tell that story. I love that story. But you know what? I want to give out a little bit of a sad loss to the Syracuse and Celtics community. Fab Melo. Fab Melo, 26, died Brazil.
I saw that.
I think it's
heart disease or something.
Died to sleep, but at 26, and it's like especially being from Syracuse, I mean playing on the Syracuse team, having the name Melo, you know what I'm saying, and Fab Melo, you're really...
I didn't even realize he was Brazilian.
I did not either. But, you know, it was one of those things where it's sort of obviously a life cut short. But in some ways, like, there was a lot of unrealized potential or a ceiling that, you know, people really sort of really thought that the sky was the limit. And it is so terribly sad. So I decided to interrupt a really fun thing and just bring us a little sad thing.
You know, just imagine he and Robert Tractor Trailer, Michigan, up in heaven, just playing one-on-one.
He's gone. Tractor Trailer?
He died like 10 years ago.
I know. I figured he had to, because I've already forgotten.
I'm not sure. I think that...
Yeah, he was big.
There was some speculation that sounded a little fishy. It was like a hotel room in Puerto Rico, maybe some coke involved or something like that.
I do believe that everyone who dies of, asphyxiation, you know what I mean? Like Carradine and the NXS lead singer, Michael Hutchins, you know, they die they die in Thailand of a belt around their neck. I'm like, no. By the way... They got killed by a hooker and made it to look like a suicide. Like, I'm always pretty sure that's what happened.
That's a good thing.
All right, that's our halftime report. All right, any words going into the second half?
No, I'm very focused, and I think we've got some good questions coming up.
All right, guys, we'll be back with the third quarter and the second part of Ryan Murphy.
Do you hit a whistle? Let's hit a whistle. All right, so we're back, and we're talking your other passion, aside from stand-up comedy and Minnesota sports, is snowboarding. Not skiing, snowboarding, correct?
Yeah, I mean, skiing's fun, too. I just haven't skied in a long time.
I mean, so at this point, how do you – is that a thing in Minnesota you grew up doing, or are you driving to Colorado?
I grew up – in Minnesota, it's the ski hill. The mountain.
It's a hill.
Hundreds.
We had one similar in Kansas City.
We my local hill, and I lived across the street from this place, which is great.
See, one of the payoffs for being the last bus stop is you live by.
We're in nice and ski hill.
Yeah.
Highland Hills ski area. I loved it. It was literally like the distance from here to Sunset Towers was my front yard to the ski.
Okay.
And for those
about 500 feet, people.
Yeah, a couple football fields, and I walked there every day after school. I was a busboy there for a free season pass when I was 8. Was it 8 or 9? I was like a kid.
That sounds legal.
I don't
that sound legal.
Yeah, it was like a volunteer position.
Oh, I get it.
So you know, loopholes. But yeah, we all wore these purple sweatshirts and cleaned the tables with bleach. I don't think I cleaned a single table, but we all wrote swear words on each other's sweatshirts with the bleach. Because it's just a bunch of kids that want free skiing, you know?
Yeah, plus, it's people that love skiing, which are notorious for being... I mean, there wouldn't be all those great ski school movies.
Yeah, Party Mountain, dude.
Exactly.
Is that a movie? A
ski school?
No. Party Mountain.
Oh, no. That was a mountain in ski school. Party Mountain.
Okay, because really, they should reboot the whole thing, because Party Mountain should be the movie name.
Or for the millennials, Out Cold with Galifianakis would be your version.
Out Cold was a great movie. David Koechner was in Out Cold. Todd Richards, professional snowboarder, founder of Morrow Snowboards, was in Out Cold.
Really?
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it came out. It was like 2001 or something.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
And so
you're an 8-year-old ski bum. You're a ski bum from jump.
I loved it. My parents, not skiers.
Really?
My parents not very
Well, they didn't grow up across the street next to a ski hill.
And I mean, my hill, I want to say it's 175 vertical feet. It is.
So your run is about 45 seconds.
If you take it slow.
Okay.
But what they did, because it's 3 chairlifts there. And,
you need 3 chairlifts.
Yeah, a mighty 3.
What do you mean just 3 chairlifts? There's just 3 chairs in the whole thing.
But they started putting in tow ropes.
I was going to say, we had the tow ropes.
I had a feeling it was a tow rope mountain.
So they have, and I think they have a bunch of them now.
Which is a great way to build up her body strength for an 8-year-old.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were 40 mile per hour tow rope. They're high speed tow ropes. So
you just slowly like squeeze your hands and you're off.
Yeah, well, yeah, everybody had, you had to get choppers, these like leather chopper things to go over your gloves because they tore it up. But it was, you would see so often a kid just being dragged out. He's on the ground. Oh, it was great. But you can get in, because you don't have to unstrap for a tow rope on the snowboard. On the chairlifts, you have to take one binding out.
You're skiing up the mountain on this.
Up and down. You can get in 300 laps. That's why there's a lot of park rats. They come from Minnesota, because it's only jumps. There isn't big mountain riding. There isn't backcountry. There isn't.
So they'll build a park.
Oh yeah, the park at Highland is current. There was just featured in Transworld Snowboarding. It was, a lot of good parks.
Yeah, because the weather's it's gonna be cold enough to sustain like a base and like.
And the thing about snowboarding out there, skiing, snowboarding in Minnesota, is it gets cold. Because like
it's like the negative 10s, 20s with the wind chill.
It's the negative 40s.
Yeah.
Like it's. In my entire K-12 school career, I only had one snow day as a freshman in high school, and we couldn't get out of the fucking street. The car got stuck at the end of the road, and I guess we're staying in. And
it wasn't even a school-wide snow day. You just got stuck in your house.
No, they did. They canceled school.
It was bad enough for everybody. Okay.
But we had cold days all the time, like where every kid would have the little stick-on thermometer on their window. And they would get out of it. Oh, my God. How fucking cold is it? And it's, it's negative 20. Turn on the radio. And, So, I mean, sometimes our school would go deep into June.
Well, I know, like, when
so
I was
it's
in...
so cold, we couldn't go to campus.
Yeah, it's dangerous to stand at bus stop.
In North Dakota, when I was up there, they would cut it off at negative 30, I think, is when they wouldn't let them go out and work.
I mean, this sounds that Minnesota is so cold that some of the mountains you skied on aren't actually mountains. They're just frozen air. Like, at a certain point, it's so cold that just air becomes solid for, you know, a couple of weeks or months, and we put a tow rope on it, and we just ski down this imaginary...
$35 bucks, we got hot chocolate.
There's a mountain appeared across the way.
Yeah, well, Buck Hill, which is a little bit bigger than Highland.
So there's how many actually in and
the
around?
The local in the Twin Cities area is Buck and Highland.
Okay.
Buck Hill, was originally founded by a beer enthusiast. It was a cross-country ski area. This guy named Frank Papp.
It's like some grain belt action or something.
Frank Papp's a Papp's Blue Ribbon.
Oh, okay.
The 1937 Milwaukee Blue Ribbon for his beer. also a skier. There's a Frank Papp's Lodge, I want to say, or there was, or there's still, I don't know, at Buck Hill, where they had like nickel draft Papps. I want to say that was a thing.
If it wasn't, you knew it was a guy.
It's a great hallucination.
Yeah,
and you need to
I know that I take a lot of mushrooms. But
at some point, that was a thing.
I mean, by the way, now I want, like, you know what they don't have? You don't have, like, an old-timey ski movie. And, like, well, we need, like, that. We need, like, a vintage period piece.
An outcome that said everyone just got back from World War II.
Yeah.
Right. Or it's the Frank Papp story. Like, the story of a guy making beer and becoming the first snowboarder before actually it happened.
Well, you know, it's not that cold outside. Let's put some slippery things
on. So when do you make the transition, when you visually, like, because literally, I've never snowboarded in my life.
I've skied several times.
I came to skiing sort of late. I mean, for skiing and in New Hampshire, I came to it late, like middle school. But then just because of moving out here, and I've never gone to Big Bear. I've never gone to Mammoth. So I've like the whole all of snowboarding has come. And I have, it's like having never had an iPod, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Or whatever. I've skipped an entire
There's
thing.
A whole world that you don't even, do you
right.
know nothing.
Yeah, it's a whole culture.
So how you came to it, what did you think of it? How,
well,
you know.
the first time I ever went on a snowboard, I was a kid. It was in 1990, I think, maybe 91. And a buddy of mine got a Kemper snowboard, which was like one of the first snowboard, like there was sure. the Sims snowboard,
like a Dino Detour bike
yeah,
version.
Yeah, because like the first snowboard, it was the East Coast was Burton and the West Coast was Sims, and there was this huge rivalry on who invented snowboarding.
East Coast, West Coast.
Was it Tom Burton or Jake
Tom
Burton
Sims, right?
Or Tom Sims? And they both sort of did. I mean, the Snurfer was the original. And I just got a Snurfer this year, and oh man, it's a hoot. No bindings, just a rope on the front.
I was going to say that's the one with the rope on the front, right? Yeah.
There's something about not
it's
having...
It's like a stand-up toboggan sled.
It's pretty much a sled that you stand on, yeah. There's something about being unstrapped that brings out the kid in you. Because it's just really fun. You know you're
going
to fall.
It's like you're standing on a sled. Like when when the first time you ever stood on a sled, I'm going down. I'm going to eat it, but it'll be so much fun when I...
But watch me.
Watch me now.
Yeah. But like, he invented it. He was in Michigan. That invented the Snurfer, this dude, simply because his wife was pregnant and they had some kids, and she's like, get these fucking kids out of the house, they're driving me crazy. So he invented the Snurfer. And Brunswick, the bowling company, jumped in, and they were the ones that originally produced it. And then there's all these snurfing competitions started, downhill snurfing, and then people were like, oh,
what if we put both our
what if we strap in?
And skateboarding's getting big at that point.
Yeah. Skateboarding was huge. And the counterculture and skateboarding was there.
Yeah.
And so what the people started doing, they would put like rubber straps. They would like cut up a tire and like, you know, screw it in. Yeah, mount it on. And Jake Burton on the East Coast had the impression that the future of snowboarding was racing and going fast. So it was all very sleek, very like, you know, tight clothes, hard boots, angled bindings, whereas both the race angle where you both went in the same way, fast East Coast, because he was a Wall Street guy that said fuck it and went back home to Vermont and started making snowboards, whereas Tom Sims out on the West Coast was more of the
West Coast.
he just wanted to skateboard on the snow.
Yeah.
And if there, if,
which is how skateboarding got started with surfing.
Yeah. And because he was a surfer too. I mean, Sims was an innovator, you know, in the board sports industry, I guess. And it was very much more entertaining to watch and much more marketable, the freestyle element. And all
as opposed to just standing with your knees
as opposed to
going
to
straight down.
When people are trying to do all hand
slalom isn't actually that exciting. Unless you're doing it, the speed isn't. It's not as fun.
Though the best event in snowboarding, it actually just happened this weekend up in Mount Baker, is the legendary banked slalom. And that, the slalom, you go up.
Oh, I see.
And it's a big, like, an S course.
Mm-hmm.
Like a snake
course. It's like Mousetrap.
Yeah, oh, man, it's...
It was created by Banksy.
Yeah.
Little-known snowboarder, Banksy.
Yeah. Real alt snowboarding.
Hmm.
But on the West Coast, all these people started coming to the mountains, and it used to be very, Like you would bring your butler and caviar to the mountains, and it was very, very elitist.
Country mm-hmm. club. Yes.
Yeah, it was for sure snobby, rich white people of the mountains. Then all these kids would show up with these snowboards and all like duct tape boots they got from Goodwill, and like, and they're not allowed to buy tickets, so they're just hiking the hill and just going down, like mouthing off, and like people would give stink eye to all these kids, and like
it's,
I remember
it's Caddy Day, Caddy Shack. It's like that.
No, for sure, for sure. And I remember as a kid getting stink eye on a snowboard because they just allowed snowboarding up in Minnesota.
We don't like your kind around here.
Oh,
boy.
For sure. All these people, what the hell are you riding, son? And I'm like, what's this ski board that you're on? That'll never catch on. And you know, look at how we are today.
I know. 20 years later.
Yeah.
So how many times a week do you end up – how much have you gone this season? I guess I'll put it that way.
That's listeners, that's how we got to where we are, is because Merv on – what's your Instagram?
At Ryan Mervis.
At MIRVIS.
Yeah, RYANMIRVIS.
Yeah, it's like every other day you're on a chairlift. Yeah. And you live in Hollywood, downtown Hollywood.
I live in the middle of Hollywood, Sunset and Highland. Right behind the Rite Aid NBA deal.
Open and there's a Chick-fil-A around the corner also.
There's a Chick-fil-A. Oh, dangerous.
And so what's that like waking up at 72 degrees and then getting in your car and then 2 hours later?
Oh, it's great. It's, the drive is easy, and you know, when you're on the 10, you're going, you know, cruising, and then it's just nothing but a parking lot on the other side, and you're just like...
Right, you're going against the grain. Yeah, everyone else, all the salmon are swimming this way, and you are headed to the mountain.
And you got a couple of snowboards on the roof, and you just see people looking at you. And
give me a mountain and something to do. All right,
it's Wednesday at 8 a.m. What the fuck is this guy doing?
Yeah.
You don't have a good time for the next 12 hours.
Yeah, they're now giving you the stink eyes. Even right. The snowboards get a lot of stink
eyes. We get a lot of stink eyes. I mean, snowboarding and a Big Bear and Big Bear Snow Summit are the same mountain. It's just different sides of the mountain. And if you get a ticket to one, it's a ticket to both, and they have a shuttle. You can go back and forth.
Oh, okay.
And it's fun to do hit Bear and hit all the runs like in a row, and then go to the car and drive over to Summit, and you bring like a bag lunch, and then eat it up on the slope. They have little picnic tables and stuff on the slope that you can just like sit at and have a nice lunch, view of the lake and stuff. It's fantastic.
Your preferred lunch, your bag lunch that you're bringing when you ski is...
You know, usually Sammy's. I like a nice Sammy. Maybe some iced tea.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy a nice iced tea. We would tailgate the parking lot. We had a little Korean barbecue grill, and we would do Korean barbecue in the parking lot with like lawn chairs and stuff.
And that smells so good, too.
Oh, and people would walk by and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the air's so clean, you can smell shit from hundreds of yards away.
Yeah, you can see a million miles just because there's no pollution. There's something about standing on the top of a mountain, just closing your eyes and breathing in through your nose and just like... And just it's just so calming and relaxing and freeing, and the power of the mountain, you can feel it, because the mountain provides life to the whole valley. You know, it's I don't know.
When the snow all melts off,
All the melt,
all that water's gonna rush down, and there are days in LA when you wake up and you can look out and it's 70, like yesterday or today, and you look out and you just see snow-top mountains everywhere.
I can actually see Mervis skiing from my house. It's crazy. Mervis is very low. It's a big mountain. And
I wear bright colors.
It makes you feel good. You're like, this is a magical place. There are not too many places in the world.
Yeah.
From door to door, what does it take you to get up there on the slopes?
A little over 2 hours.
Yeah. Not bad. In theory, you could be on the beach and then ski.
Yeah, I've surfed and snowboarded the same day before.
Yeah.
And I lived in San Diego.
Now, have you ever been to ski jail? Like, you were put in stadium jail. Like, what's sort of like the biggest kerfuffle or something? Like, what's the weird, most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you during a ski?
I haven't gotten in much trouble on the slopes recently. When I was a kid, I would get the corner. Like, you have your season pass, and you get your corners clipped.
Yes.
And once you get all four corners clipped, then you're 86th. Get out of here. See you next season.
Oh, I see, because you got in trouble. So they, in other words, like, so you have done something bad.
Yeah.
And so they clip a corner.
Right. And that would
that's a good way to keep
you interesting.
And it would be something along the lines of, like, jumping off the chairlift. or too many snowball fights, or
being a kid too long, you know.
Yeah, general tomfoolery.
I know. So there's a gang of you. Also, it's like you got one corner. This kid's got two.
Corners. Oh, for
like
sure.
You can see who's hanging on.
The corner gang's coming.
Yeah. The one corner. I got one corner left.
Yeah.
You know? They call you the octagon.
You're putting a little piece of tape, or you cut it like you tape.
People would tape their corners back. Yeah.
Oh, but they knew you.
They knew you.
Because like, what'd you have, a Viking starter jacket you were skiing in?
You know what? I had, for a while, I was skiing in a Notre Dame starter jacket. because I liked the movie Rudy so much.
Big Ron Paulus fan sitting across.
Yeah.
I still want to see the guy he got mistaken for in the San Diego Chargers.
My nemesis.
How many Vikings? I mean, you guys do. Minnesota people, when you meet them, they are enormous. I mean, you think I'm Iowa, Nebraska people are big, but Minnesota people are just
a lot of cheese and potatoes.
It's
up
just
there.
Like people like living up there, and they like breeding up there, and 150.
They like breeding up there.
150. That's what we call it. 150 years later, you got a land of 6'5", and what I'm saying is, chances are there was another Ryan Mervis-esque Viking fan
there
in
been,
the
you
crowd
know?
That day.
Yeah, we do grow them big up there.
I love that your corners got clipped. I'm just seeing like 8-year-old just like getting all upset. You're like oh, they got my third corner.
I didn't jump off the ski lift. You're like, yeah, you did, Ryan.
It was like if you're going up the tow rope and you see like someone coming on, then you cut in so the whole tow rope would go over and hit him in the face or something. And they're like, nope, come here. Just stupid kids.
I mean, the ski patrol guy that has like a pair of scissors in his jacket. He's like, oh, clipping you.
But I mean, at the same time back then, you know, this is the 90s and like half the people that are working there, like either smoking shitty Minnesota weed in the little warming houses or like banging inside a snowcat. Like it's there weren't a ton of rules back then,
but you managed to break them.
I found them and I broke them.
As you grew up, and what other sports did you play growing up?
I played football. I wasn't good enough to play hockey. I hated basketball.
But you have come out and played several times on weekends. I've seen you on a
basketball.
I'm
really bad.
I'm really surprised you weren't a goalie. I mean, I'm really surprised you weren't just, you were such a size, like you seem to be
the wall.
Yeah. It's like getting a sumo wrestler to just sit in the net.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Just stand here and like Goldberg in the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, things will just bounce off you. You're just, you're a target.
Yeah, but also hockey season overlapped with snowboard season. So same thing with basketball. I'm like, I could stay after school or I could go to Highland and shred.
Is there a special place in your heart for the Mighty Ducks? Since it was set in Minnesota. Yeah. I mean, that really must have been like a nice cherry on the top.
It's great. And like the kids they used to do the skating for the doubles, some of them went to my school. Disney recruited out of the
They had to be uppity pricks after that experience.
But I
was Pacey from Dawson's Creek's photo. I was his stunt skater in the
Gordon Bombay wanted me on the team, but they said they'd already cast him and they couldn't switch.
I just like how that movie started with a DUI.
That's a good point. You know,
Or DWI. I think it was Minnesota.
That's a good way to kick off a Disney movie.
Yeah. Here you go, kids. He's doing community service, but he doesn't want to.
Now, like being an enormous man, I'm assuming offensive line football. Were you as a kid, a teenager, were you like, I want to play for the Vikings? Is that a dream of yours at one point?
For a while, like I was like, oh, this is the future. Because I was good. I was good at football.
Well, Mike, you were mentioning you'd grown up going to
Gopher football camp. I did the whole thing. There was one year the Gophers got like this whole new facility. With like the new future AstroTurf with the little balls and
the stuff that gives everyone cancer now.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like all stoked about it. And so I show up with my cleats and blah blah. And they're like, okay, all the linemen you're going to the old place. And I didn't bring like regular sneakers, like trainers. I had soaps, like the freestyle walking shoes. Remember those?
Yeah.
why we had Mervis on. Mervis is the man. I love
Unbelievable.
Mervis.
Great story.
And we didn't get into his specs, if you will. But I'd say, what, 6'3", 280?
Big man.
I mean, legitimately, when he was talking about playing.
I can, like, you could open him up, I could wear him as a suit.
I know that with his size, he has NFL size. What I'm saying is that had he gone the football route, yeah. You know, like, he physically could have, I think, handled that. I mean, that is how big he is. So I can't even imagine being, like, say your ski falls off, you're looking for it, and all of a sudden you look up and there's just this dude with a 2-foot red beard screaming, 280-pound man flying down the hill.
I have to say, when he was telling that story about digging himself out of a tree well, I'm like, I got to give it up to him. I'm like a man of his girth and size. Like, maybe he has those sort of, like, you know, his speed and quickness is like Vince Wilfork. Like, you don't realize how quick that he's such a big guy. You don't realize how athletic he has to be able to pull off.
And those
that.
Are those are the super athletes. Yeah. I have a buddy like that, Phil, who you met a couple weeks ago, sure. Who's in town. That dude. It doesn't matter how big they get; they've still got the cat-like reflexes.
But I thought that was amazing. That, like, it was also like, I mean, he's like, yeah, I'm upside down in a tree well. I had to dig myself for 2 hours. Like, by the way, you hang me upside down. You put me in snow for 2 hours. I'm like, I might be giving up. I got to be honest with you. I think I would have had some really dark moments of the soul.
Some reflection there. Like, am I
tapping out of this? Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Or just the spit. So to see what direction.
And then it's going to freeze on your face or whatever, right?
I mean, I mean, claustrophobic or not, that's just going to be a horrible feeling just being stuck there, especially with.
I know, because I was really like, because you're not only inverted, it's like your feet are glued to a board. Like, they're strapped to a board. I mean, I'm assuming you couldn't reach them. And, like, you know, like, as bad as, like, see. I hate being in water with shoes or boots on. You know, like, if you
it's the worst
jump,
feeling in the world
because it's heavy and you immediately
in
feel
fact,
like it's dragging
you
down.
I have a pair of river shoes I keep at my parents' house when I go right. when we go on the float trips every other year. Right. So they're in the same corner. I go get those shoes and they're vented, so the water leaks out. It's one of the worst feelings.
Right, but I can't imagine trying to, like, dig, kick in any. Claw. No, I'm saying this to be in ski boots. And have to do any sort of survival skill, any sort of, like, I need to save my life right now. It is so not the footwear, a ski boot, even the, you know.
Whatever. I mean, even the snowboard boot, which is more boot-ish.
Sure,
but
sure,
still,
more flexible, but I just can't.
I can only assume that his bear-like strength is what saved him at that point. You know, like, just being able to physically, like, get.
His bear-like, all his borrowing.
Move out of the way, 80 pounds of snow. Mervis coming.
Yeah.
Or getting kicked out of the detention at Qualcomm Stadium. Like, because I remember when he
By the way, the crazy part of that story was they put him in a room that wasn't the drunk tank, then let him out saying sorry, and then they put him in a drunk tank. Like, there was another drunk tank. Like, I don't really understand why they put him in the isolation chamber.
I think, like, because the level of drunk asshole in San Diego is far higher than a lot of cities. Like, there are just some really douchey drunks because everyone's just
douchey.
At the beach and, like,
yeah.
I mean, I saw a guy flip a rickshaw one time in downtown San Diego.
By the way, guys, that's not an expression or a euphemism. A rickshaw. Like, you're saying things that people pull to ferry people around. Yes,
like, I
a
look
rickshaw.
Over. It's in the air is what I'm saying. So I'm downtown in the gas lamp, bars everywhere, nice restaurants, and I'm like, hey, look, there's a bicycle tire and pedals 10 feet up in the air. And what had happened was these two guys were arguing because they tried to bait me one time. I got in, and I was like, I live two blocks away, two, like, not even. And the guy was like, $20. I'm like, no, I'm giving you $10, and I'm going inside. And he was like, what? No, it's a $20 minimum. I'm like, we just went a block. You can call the cops right now if you want to, but here's $10, okay? So they're, like, real stingy. So I'm assuming that's what argument over pricing ensues. So there's this guy just swinging at these little bike rickshaw drivers, you know, and then the guy turns around wearing a big K-State shirt. I'm like, sure enough, the asshole guy from Kansas comes here, gets drunk, and now he's fighting the rickshaw driver at 3 in the afternoon on a Thursday.
It's welcome. 3 in the afternoon. By the way, the fact that you get that upset and throw a rickshaw off at 3 in the afternoon
it was daylight. You know,
not three at night. Like, I, you know,
like, you're drunk when you're fighting someone in flip flops. You know what I mean? Like, that's the level of drunkenness that is, and that's just fairly common in San Diego. So I'm sure once he got into the drunk tank, they're like, he's not really drunk. He's just a Viking, and not even the real Viking.
I just like
that
he let
we were trying
in
to
the
get.
Song.
He's the wrong Viking.
Wrong Viking. A classic case of mistaken Viking identity.
Oh, but that was it's good. And just I hadn't been face to face with Mervin in a long time, so it's good to catch up with him. Anything else? Show up, go up.
Hey guys, we have one last show this month, this Sunday night at the world famous Comedy Store. We're off the last Sunday of the month for another show, but show up, go up, and I'll tell you, we had a really good show this past week. I was conscious and remembered all of it.
I had to sneak out. I felt bad. I had to go home.
Oh, don't feel bad. And then
I want to bring this to that show. At least
we will do. So anyway, we have one more show this month, and then we're back for for March. So come back 10:30 to 1 in the morning. Sunday nights,
okay.
Belly room of the world famous Comedy
21
Store.
And over, there is a 2-drink minimum, but it's well worth it. If you're going to be in town visiting, just stop by the Comedy Store. And the ticket, it's sold out. Here's the deal. Like, every show is sold out almost every night in every room. So it's kind of nice. It's if you're visiting LA.
Free. My show is free. By the way, isn't a 2-drink minimum at my show. You just have to if you get a drink or anything at the front bar, if Rose is the bartender.
Oh, that's true.
And you actually can write your name on a receipt, put it in a bucket, and you get time. That's one of the ways you can get time. If you purchase any beverages or anything, a chicken finger. You don't have to be an alcoholic to
just get a receipt, write your name on it,
right?
Throw it in the
it's
bucket,
one of the many ways
and you get some stage time.
Show up, go up.
Nice. And so this week off, and then back to the usual.
We're here this week, then we have a week off the last Sunday of the month we're off, and then we're back for March.
This is great. It wouldn't be an episode without sirens going.
Because we're doing it on Sunset, people.
That's how it goes. Guys, like I said previously in previous weeks, thank you for listening. Listenership goes up week to week here.
Thank you.
Subscribe, leave messages or leave a comment or whatever on iTunes.
And remember,
all that
guys,
stuff.
I am now a fan consultant. If you need help with your team, I'm here to help you.
Yeah, so at Oh That Marino.
Oh That Marino on Twitter.
You might be on Twitter at one of these days. So
I still have an egg avatar. We're seeing when it hatches.
Oh That Marino on Twitter. Guys, and then John, J-O-N, is here.com for some more of my tour dates. I'm also going to be up in Washington in April doing a couple casinos in and around Seattle area. So you listeners up there, by all means, come out to those shows as well. But I think this was a great episode, and I think it's close the obsession for the week.
It's the end of the fourth quarter, everybody.
Yeah,
clock's
winding down.
My name's Eric Marino. That's John Schieser. This is the train whistle. Stay obsessed. What you gonna do when everybody goes on with that? Attention, all aboard have been destroyed us. 4 kids on tour, 3,000 miles in a photo car, not knowing what's going on. You got a million years and torn out like this. Hell no, no premonition could have saved it. To the end, I'll journey to the end. To the end, to the end, I'll journey to the end, to the end. Mecca, man, this place is fucked. 3 months go by.